Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Ghar se dola chala ladli ka kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka ghar se dola chala ladli ka kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka kitne nazo se pala tha humne har tarah se sambhala tha humne haaye humse juda ho rahi hai haaye humse juda ho rahi hai ghar ki yaadon mein wo kho rahi hai aaj babul karona na poocho aur maa ka tarapna na poocho aaj babul karona na poocho aur maa ka tarapna na poocho ghar ghar se dola chala ladli ka kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka pyari pyari wo guniya bhi chuti pyari pyari wo guniya
assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. I see everyone is full of smiles. I see Brother Dawood Mota, mashallah. He's smiling this morning. I see my beloved engineer as well. He's in a good mood. Brother Bonface, we welcome him, of course, into the bliss of marriage. It's the 5th of Dhulqa'dah, 1442. Beautiful Wednesday morning. Public holiday. And let's welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal in company. And let's welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved who start into the program this morning. We start welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener wants to know, Ustad, dear Mufti AK, I have a very stubborn son and he does not want to get married because he says, for as long as we live, he says his parents are his duty, Ustad. Then when we're not around, he will get married. Do we walk out of his life, Ustad? Anonymous mommy?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, a question like this, we will have to answer it from three different perspectives. Number one, the question will be posed, what is the duty of the Muslim parents vis-a-vis to their son and vis-a-vis to their daughter? When you have a daughter, then remember it is your duty, O parents, you have to provide for her roti, kapra, makan, shelter, clothing, food, all the basic necessities till she gets married. And after marriage, then it's no more your responsibility, then it becomes the husband's responsibility till her death. So she is taken care of in that manner. Regarding a son, remember you are only responsible. Islamic Islamically till the age of 15, 16, maximum 17. Thereafter, you are not responsible. So that will be your first thing you. So what you need to do as husband, wife, as parents, both of you must have a meeting among yourself. You, the husband, wife, the parents. So you must have a joint strategy and you cement your relationship. This is how we're going to solve this problem. He is just sponging off us and he doesn't have to pay anything. He's using everything of ours. So every day you start curtailing his perks. You start curtailing everything. You tell him your internet you can't use, the cell phone you can't use, whatever you are paying for, you tell him you no more paying, and he must start paying himself. So he must become a person who stands on his own feet. So every day start curtailing his perks and his expenses, because he is not doing you a favor. In fact, he is blackmailing you to a certain extent and so forth, and is living a life of a parasite. So that is number one. Number two is this, that what should he be doing? He should be doing the following daily. Today is Wednesday, after Zohar Salat, right up to Asr, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, du'as are accepted, mashallah. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, has mentioned in Al-Adabul Mufrad, how Habibuna Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his du'as were accepted on Wednesday afternoon in the Battle of Khandaq, Battle of Ahzab, the trench. So you must remember that happened on a Wednesday afternoon. One of the reporters, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anh, whenever he encountered problems, so he would wait for Wednesday afternoon and beg, petition, beseech Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and he says, always Almighty Allah accepted my du'as. So you, my brother, my son, you have to become much more responsible and not careless and reckless, and you need to take the du'as of your parents. So daily 2 rakat salat, start today after Zuhr and read Surah 25 verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. You are 25, you are 27, 28, whatever, 30, and still you just want to be mummy's boy. It doesn't work that way. You must learn to take responsibility. You, the parents, 3 du'as for you. Number one is this, read Surah 46, chapter 46, verse 15, 1-5. And what is that? وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh, beloved Allah, bring about reform, goodness, piety in my children. Not only him, in all my children, children, grandchildren, all are included. Chapter 46, verse 15. Second one, you want him to get married, settle down during your lifetime, obviously. So you, the parents, should be reading Surah 25, Surah Furqan, the chapter on criterion, and remember verse 54. For him is verse 74. For you is verse 54. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا. He, Almighty Allah, created you from the semen and the sperm, and then he made for you a lineage and in-laws. So read that abundantly. And the third dua you should read is رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى. Chapter 14, verse 40, 40. So chapter 14, Ya Allah, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي, make us مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ, that we perform salat and we establish salat, we encourage others to do so. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, and my children, progeny also, رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى. Inshallah, that will solve your problem. Daily, all parties, father, mother, son, give out some charity and so forth. But the more stubborn he becomes, you must curtail all his perks and tell him that he must learn to become much more responsible.
I see a brother says, 5 years ago, my wife passed on, dear Honorable Muftisab. So after 5 years, I have decided, if it's okay, dear Muftisab, to get married to my mother, of course, mother-in-law, Ustad. Is that permissible, Ustad?
Totally haram for you to marry your mother-in-law. Almighty Allah has mentioned Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 23. The list of 14 ladies are mentioned there who are perpetually haram for you as a man to get married. You can't marry your biological mother, your biological daughter, your sisters, all three types, full sister, your uterine sister, you share the same mother with her, the consanguine sister, that is the sister you share the same father with her, your mother-in-law. The verse is wa ummahatu nisaikum. Even though your wife has passed away, she is perpetually haram upon you. I'm even amazed that your mother-in-law is even prepared to go ahead with that. If the two of you go ahead with that, you will go out of the fold of Islam. You're considering something haram, totally haram, enshrined in a noble Quran as permissible. Allah forbid. So forget it, very bad idea. Yes, your wife passed away, make dua for her. What dua are you going to make for her, brother? Surah 59, verse 10. رَبَّنَا فِي لَنَا وَلِيْخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us. Forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with iman. So that you keep on reading, give out charity. You marry another lady, mashallah, no problem. And just now Allah put the thought in my mind. I hope and I pray that you, O son-in-law, and you, mother-in-law, I hope there's no some hanky-panky business already went on. You touched her, she touched you, and you'll say, I thought, oh, harulage. You see, that, you know, poison and that forbidden fruit is always very tasty, you see. So you must remember, you're better separate from one another totally. In Islam, between you, son-in-law, and mother-in-law, there's no hijab in parda, but in this case it becomes wajib, because both of you or one of you got some hidden agenda, ulterior motive, and there's no smoke without fire, brother. Totally haram it is.
I see the brother says, dear Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah khair for your advice. But we are just gone so close, so how do I break up this relationship, Ustad?
Yeah, that's what we're telling you. It's compulsory to break it up, because the smoke will get more, then you'll become smoking Joe. So you must remember that, totally haram. Get out from that house, or tell her to move out. You can't live together, you can't interact with one another. Very bad intentions you've got. You can lose your iman if you're not careful. Allah forbid.
Somebody says, I need some advice from you, Mufti Sahib and Mulana Arafat. I want to marry a boy of my choice, and my parents have a boy of theirs. I have spoken to the boy my parents are arranging and told him I want to make nikah with Mr. X. He agreed so on the day of our nikah. My choice will be accepted as he has agreed to do the swap in the masjid. Will my parents have a say in this matter, Ustad? Anonymous young girl?
Forget all the swap in the masjid and all that. They're just fooling you and so forth. You have to understand this from three different perspectives. You are my daughter, my sister, Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, Jamila. Who are you? You are a Muslima. Who are you? You are an Aqila Baliga. You are a Muslim lady. You are sane. You are mature. In Islam, when you are a Muslim and you are sane and mature, then the parents can suggest to you that we would like it that you marry so and so. But they cannot impose it upon you. Remember that. If you say, no, I don't want to marry him, they cannot coerce you, pressurize you, and compel you to marry him. That is the Islamic law. By the same token, that you say, no, I want to marry ABC person, so they, your father, has to give permission. And remember Nabi alayhi salam's authentic hadith, and the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat, various compilations, la nikaha illa bi waliyin, that the nikah is not valid except with the permission, consent of the guardian, so that your biological father, biological grandfather, father, the dada, or your brother, or your paternal uncle, your chacha, your kaka, and so forth. Now let's make your case. I don't know you, right? I don't know your parents. I don't know who the suitors are and the shooters are, right? So you must remember that who's interested in you and not interested. All that swap story is all waste of time. You must remember it's water under the bridge then. So remember, what you have to do is this. You tell them, if you want my happiness, this is the person, the boy I want to marry. Let's say, if they agree, well and good, but let's say they don't agree. Now we have to go to the rationale and the reason why they don't want to agree. If you chose a Qadiani boy, a Shia boy, Aga Khani boy, and so forth, then 100% they are justified and you are wrong. But let's say you are a Surti girl and you chose a Maimon boy, or you are a Maimon girl and you chose a Urdu boy, and these type of things that our people have, the Gam mentality, the village mentality, which come from Hindus, the caste system, and has no place in Islam. Today also, if you go to India, you will find the one group are called the untouchables and so forth. Nevertheless, so in a case like that, if the boy, his character is good, his belief system is good, everything, that is the only problem, and your father and them are refusing, then you can go to your brother, you can go to your uncle and take permission from them, and you get married, your nikah will be valid. However, one is iftar, the fatwa, and one is irshad, advice. So iftar, fatwa, we will say your nikah is valid. But irshad, I will tell you, my daughter, my sister, always try and take the du'as and blessings of your parents, and don't break their heart when you're going to leave the home and so forth. So you should look at the situation. All this, that no, the parents say, marry this one, and the day of nikah, then we'll make swap. All that is waste of time. They fooling you and so forth, that will not happen. So you need to wake up and don't be so naive and simple, Simon, regarding this issue.
I see the sister says, okay, dear Mufti Sahab, it's because the boy is a Salafi, but he's got a good character, good akhlaq. If Mufti Sahab, if you are saying no and my parents saying no, and then I will elope. That's a sister who start anonymous.
So you must remember with Salafis, they are Muslim, but we have huge issues with them. You must remember, I give you three examples. Number one, they will say that three talaq is one talaq. So you can see that is wrong. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. And you must remember, we are not like Christians who believe in Trinity. Taraweeh time, they'll tell you that it's not 20 rakats, they'll tell you it's 8 rakats. Then next one, you must remember, on this normal socks and all that, they will tell you, you can just make masa. All these masail are against the four schools of thought. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, la tajtami ummati ala dalala. This ummah will never have consensus and agree on astrayness. See, my sister, simple example I give you. So your parents are alive today. When your parents leave this world, Allah give them long life. So the Salafis will tell you, you can't read Quran Sharif. You must remember for the deceased. And this is famous amongst them. They've written books and I have the book by me. So we debate with them. They can't answer. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad on the authority of Ma'qil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood. Iqra Yasin ala mautakum, read Surah Yasin for your dead and deceased and so forth. So my advice to you, in a case like this, you should listen to your parents and their grounds are justified. For you to threaten them, I don't know you, but you say I will elope. So remember, you just bring in the wrath of Almighty Allah and the lanat of Nabi alayhi salatu salam upon yourself, and don't think you are too smart and so forth and so on. Kullu zambin insha'a afa'anhu wa insha'a azabahu. Every sin is a prerogative of Almighty Allah. Either Allah forgives or Allah Ta'ala punishes. Illa uquq al-walidain. But when you are disobedient to your parents, when your parents are right and you are wrong, like in this case, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعَجِّلُ عُقُوبَتَهُ لِصَاحِبِهِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. Allah Jalla Wala will punish you in this world before death overtakes you. So don't do that, because you are doing it out of spite and you are doing it just to challenge them. So remember, besides your character, we have to look at Aqidah, and we have many issues with them. They are Muslim. We don't say they're not Muslim. They are Muslim. But remember, I would not advise you to get married to him, and your parents are correct on that score.
I see Brother Ahmed from Boyson. He says, dear Mufti Sahab, I want to give some input on that sister. He says, today's common sense, Mufti Sahab, We don't force our parents to get married. When they wanted to get married, they got married. So why should they force us to get married? Brother Ahmad Ustad from Boysons.
So remember that the parents were not forcing you. The parents are knowing what is best for their child. So yeah, for them, you must remember to intervene, because they know that this daughter of theirs, her belief system will get corrupted. After 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, her children's beliefs will get corrupted. Let me give you one incident. Many, many years ago, stand maybe 2010, 2008, somewhere there, the South Africans, there was one, two South Africans, my students, they were there, and they said that, please come to that hotel, and you know, you address the South Africans. So I said, no problem. So the men were in one room, the woman in one room, but they could hear, you know, and so forth. And I spoke about the virtues of Makkah, Medina, Umrah, all that. Then in the ending, I told them, you know, my style is this, I like to speak straight, you know, and I don't like to curry favor with people, you know. Every one of you who's a South African, you must pack your bags up and go home. And they were very upset with me, you know. So they said, why? I said, look at your children. Which one of them is going madrasa? Which one of them is doing this? In 3 years' time, 5 years' time, they will be out of your control. So anyway, they didn't really like, and they were not impressed with what I said. After 1-2 years, the one brother who was there, he came to meet me. This is in Medina, in the hotel. So in Medina Munawwara. So he met me, he said, please speak to my sons. So he had two sons or something. So I asked, what's up? He said, they don't read one sunnat salat. They don't read salat with a hat. They put their one leg in the east and one leg in the west. So I told him, but didn't I tell you that 2-3 years ago that you must pack up and go home? So then he looks down. I'm not doing it for my purpose. Your son should be a jahil and an ignorant in South Africa. And at least he should have respect. He should be wearing a hat. He should be reading sunnat salat. He should be reading salat standing properly. You stayed there. He's just doing, you know, that one fool sees the other fool. And this, one chap's leg is in the east, one in the west. No hat, no nothing, no sunnats. They'll tell you it's not compulsory. Alaysa bifarz and all that. So already they are so corrupted. You must remember these type of things here. So what good it is. Makkah, Medina, the rewards are 100% double. But remember, when you commit vices there, then the punishment also is double. Therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa, do you know Imam Abu Hanifa? Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, was a genius. He was born in 80 after Hijrah. He passed away in 150, and he used to say, to stay permanently in Makkah, Medina is makruh. Because you can't, me and you, ordinary mortals, we're not Sahaba and so forth, we cannot fulfill the rights of these sacred places. Abdullah bin Abbas, let me give you a Sahaba, Imam Abu Hanifa is Tabi. Take Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu passed away in the year 68. And his janaza salat was performed by Muhammad bin Hanafiya, Sayyidina Ali's son, in the year 68 in Taif. They asked him, Ya Abdullah, radiallahu anhu warda, why you stay here? Why you don't stay there in the Haram? He said, for me to commit 100 sins, many sins here, is better than committing one sin in the Haram. Allah. What is trying to say? He's trying to say, I fear staying in the Haram, because in the Haram, in Makki, Makki Haram, Haramul Makki, Quran Kareem states, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُزِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. You just make intention of a vice. Just intention. You never perpetrated it. Then of zulam and oppression and so forth, then we will unleash a terrible punishment upon you. Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse number 25. So you should think properly. Sister, what you are doing, you're letting your emotions get the better of you, and you are wrong in that, on that issue.
Somebody says, Ya Ustad, that I would like to remain anonymous, dear Mufti Sahab. Is this authentic? We heard that tonight all our eyes and heart will be on Al-Aqsa. thousands of Zionist illegal settlers are planning to invade Al-Aqsa Ustad. Is this true?
Remember that was yesterday that they tried that march of theirs, and they marched, but they changed the route of a thousand of them marched. There were 2,000 police and so forth. And you must remember that what happened was that they arrested about 17, 20 or so Palestinians, according to this morning's Haaretz News, that is the biggest English daily newspaper in the rogue apartheid regime of Israel. On the other side, in Gaza, because they did this, so they threw some balloons and so forth, you know, and some portions of the rogue regime of Israel got burnt. All that happened last night. So what did the terrorist apartheid rogue regime of Israel do? 1 o'clock this morning, they went and from the planes and so forth, they started the shooting and destroying parts of Gaza and Khan Yunus and so forth and so on. So remember, they start the provocations. You know your march is going to cause problems. First of all, what is the march? The national flag march is what? That they want to celebrate what they call the annexation of Jerusalem in the year 67. If you know your history, the small Dajjal Moshe Dayan and his army came. So they call it annexation, we call it, and the international community calls it, and United Nations calls it occupation. So they are occupying Jerusalem now for more than 54 years, plus minus. So you must remember, how can you be celebrating something that is illegal, so it does not belong to you, and now you still want to dictate the terms. Then when the Palestinians respond, then you say they are terrorists. Israel, I sent it out today. I sent it out on my Twitter account. I sent it out on my Telegram account. I sent it out on my groups. Anybody wants, you want to join the 8th group we started today. Always good to start something on a Wednesday. You want a reference of that. Open Al-Maqasidul Hasana, Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Siddiqi Beti, the lovely of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, and the beloved of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. She said that when you want to get married, you want to do a business, you want to move into a house, shop, whatever, start on a Wednesday. So I said, it's Wednesday, let me start my group number 8. Mashallah, I see many people joining. You want to join our groups? 071-888-1184. Nevertheless, so what happened? I sent out that message. Israel is not a country. It is a people that the terrorist gang and a terrorist nation they are. Therefore, we live on air. We say, listen, Jutlas, you are the people who are guilty of state terrorism. Israel is a country, if you want to call it a country, that is based, you must remember, on gangster tactics, terrorism, and you treat the Palestinians as third, fourth class. Let me give you 3 incidents that will shock you. You know, number one, you go to Hebron to Khalilur Rahman when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, there are only few hundred settlers there. I told you this morning, for every settler, one bullet will settle the issue. So that is Islam. Next one, we see that what did the settlers do to one child of the Palestinians? This is documented, it happened a few months ago. So they made the Palestinian child drink petrol and then they burnt him alive. That is your settlers. Stop. That is your regime of Israel. Tell me what action is taken against these people. I'm asking you. Second one, 1994, 15 Ramadan by us, 16 Ramadan day, Saturday it was. It was the month of February. I can still remember vividly, I was in Newcastle. And remember that Baruch Goldstein, who was a settler, a terrorist, a Zionist, he entered the masjid Fajr time and he mowed down the Muslims. 29 became martyrs immediately, and the death toll, those who succumbed to injury, was 70 plus minus. So So what did the Israel? Then he got killed in the special Jahannam and the hellfire. Good riddance to him also. So we say, what happened? After this incident, I read Salat Day in 89. I read Salat Day in 92. The whole masjid belongs to us. So in 1994, after this incident, the Jutlas, the apartheid rogue terrorist regime of Israel, stole and occupied half our masjid, Masjid Ibrahimi, and turned the proportion of the back into a synagogue. That is justice their style, Israeli style. I just sent out the clip down in this week here. It was either Monday or Sunday or so. So what they did in the prisons to the Haaretz newspaper candidate, and what they did, you must remember, they tortured them, and they, you know, you can't think of words what these haramis did. Yeah, they're real haramis, they're bees, you must remember that. So what they did, and then the person, the matter went to court, they threw it out, and the officer in charge, he got promotion. That is how Israel works. So whether it's Netanyahu, whether it's Bennett, for us it's all the same. You must remember, they all are terrorists and they are guilty of state terrorism. So that is what it is. So their aim is to provoke the Muslims and so forth. But they know that Gaza now is ready for them. If they're going to go more and more, another war will start, if they want to call it a war. And this time, inshallah, that they will kill our people. There's no doubt, but see the damage our people will do to Israel. Inshallah, if the tanpot, I sent out the message today, and I hope you received it, Maulana. Oh yeah, I told you to send it out. Yeah. So I told you to send it out about the watermelon. And under that, I wrote a note. All you traitors amongst the Arab regimes, whether it be UAE, whether it be Bahrain, whether it be Morocco, whether it be Sudan, whether it's whoever, you must remember Bahrain and whoever else, you are murtad, you're out of the fold of Islam. The UAE minister last week, addressing the APEC meeting, says that you, the Western powers, must designate Hamas as a terrorist regime. What are you? You're a sellout, you're a bootlicker, UAE. You sold the whole of Islam out. You sold the whole Arabs out. You must remember, with all your wealth, you are the most humiliated, disgraced people. So you must be murtad you are. I don't speak of the public, I speak about the leadership. So you must remember these type of things, yeah. So people who normalize ties with the rogue apartheid regime of Israel, Hamas and the Palestinians are holding up the honor of Islam, and you are selling Islam. That is what you are doing, you turnpot dictators.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, I see the brother in Pretoria says, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. He says, you go Mufti Sahab. Ustaz, let's go overseas. Somebody says, a lady friend having an affair with a married man. Husband divorced wife after finding out to start. And the new man is not ready to make nikah yet. We have advised her that this is zina. But she says, she will carry on with the man and will keep making dua to Allah to make them maaf. The question is, Ustaz, she says she was her childhood boyfriend, and Allah has brought them together after so many years for a reason. She has suggested Mufti Sahab two or three times about nikah, and he kept saying later, and she's very scared to lose him, Ustaz.
What you are doing, sister, is you're playing with fire. The shaitan is playing mind games with you. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ The shaitan has beautified your deeds and your actions for you, number one. Number two, you must remember, there's no barakah blessing. So you're wasting your time asking. It's like telling, Ya Allah, I'll keep on taking poison. You give me shifa. And cure, it's not going to happen. So that guy will use you and throw you away like a spare wheel. You must remember that. He's not interested in you. He's just using you. And my biggest fear for you, sister, is you trivializing this and considering it such a small matter. If you're not careful, you might go right out of the fold of Islam. But you must remember, Islam does not need me, does not need you, does not need anybody. Islam is very independent. And when we start mocking and playing with the laws of Islam, then we can fly right out of Islam. So it's haram for you to continue with any relationship, talking, speaking, meeting with that person. All you are doing from A to Z is haram, and he's just going to use you and then give you a kick. Remember that.
Ustad, I see there's a youngster here, 28 years old, from Foxworth. He says, Mufti Sahab, I just got married 3 weeks ago. My question to you is, How come Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam married so many wives and we not allowed to do that? My wish and desire is before I leave this world, at least I want to get 4 wives. Ustad.
So you can get married to 4, nobody is stopping you. So Quran Karim states, Masna wa thulatha wa ruba. Can you make justice? In 1-3 weeks you almost finish with 1 wife, it seems like, my brother. And now you're tired of her, you want to get married to 2nd, 3rd, 4th one. Quran Karim said you can marry 4, but it's not, you must remember, unconditional and carte blanche. There are conditions attached. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. If you fear you can't do justice, then you remain and stick with your first wife. So you think properly, be honest. You are 28 years old. Do you think you can do justice? This morning I passed one fatwa, one lady was asking about second wife in it. I told her, your husband is not doing justice. He is guilty, but you are also guilty. You knew that he has another wife. So why did you have to go and get married to him when you know 80-90% of the Muslim men today won't do justice? And that is a reality. It's no sense hoping and expecting them to do justice. So remember, they will use you and so forth. So you, I don't know you, Mr. Folkers, but I'm telling you that you will not do justice because you need iman e kamil. You need complete iman. You need real taqwa and piety. Then you can do and exercise the taqwa and justice and so forth. For you, you married now, you and your wife, your new wife, your this first wife here, so you keep on making dua. Surah 25 verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Almighty Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. So remember that is compulsory upon you.
I see the Mr. Fawcett says, dear Mufti Saab, Allah has blessed me with wealth. I've got 2 garages. So I think I can look after them, Ustad.
Wealth got nothing to do with it, brother. You must remember that. Wealth has got nothing to do. It got to do with iman. It got to do with taqwa, not wealth. You see, already you got the wrong end of the stick.
19 minutes to 12, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Ustaz, somebody says that our neighbor is a Shia and their son is getting married this coming Saturday, Ustaz. And they have invited us for a walima. We're just going there just to eat the food. That's it, Ustaz. Can we attend for that walima, Ustaz?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before I respond, let me give you just a small little example. Let's say there is a person, every day he's swearing your father, mother, and then they invite you. Will you go? Be honest. You will say, how can I go? He's swearing my father, mother. Our father, mother, my father, mother, your parents are non-entities compared to the Sahaba, the beloved students, companions, honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. These kuffar, Shia, 100% kuffar they are. Daily they are cursing Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anhu majma'in. And they say 90-95% of the Sahaba became murtad out of the fall of Islam. And you telling me that you just want to go and eat there. So you must remember that, how can you even think of going there? Tomorrow, how will you stand in front of Siddiqa, Sayyidina Aisha? How will you stand in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu warda, Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Usman, radiallahu anhu, Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, and all these giants among the Sahaba? So remember this. Let me give you 3 issues regarding the Shia, so you might understand it properly. Everything from A to Z, we are different. Our kalima is different. Our adhan is different. Our hudu is different. Our salat is different. Our prayer salat. Our siyam fasting is different. Our hajj is different. So much so, husband-wife relationship is different. These kuffar Shia say, it is permissible for the husband to sodomize his wife. Can you believe that? They worse than animals. You must remember that. They say that that is permissible. You go see their books and that. I sent it pointed out so many times, they love, you must remember, backdoor business, the Kuffar Shia. Khomeini writes in his book, which I have, Tawdihul Masail, you can make mut'ah for 1 hour, 1 hour prostitution legal. You call people like that Muslim, they are the. Therefore, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote that they are worse enemies of ours, Muslim, compared to even Christians and Jews. And we agree with him that, remember, so we got nothing to do with Shias, and we will defend with our lives the honor of Sahaba radiallahu anh. Therefore, we said, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And if you want to join Darul Iman, mashallah, the voice of the voiceless, I sent it out today also, 084-786-3130. So you become a member of Darul Islam, of Markaz Sahaba, you join group number 8. And remember, if you want to join Darul Iman, then D-A-R-U-L-E-M-A-A-N, then join you the duo. We sent out the message, and the WhatsApp message you should send to is 084-786-3130. So remember, 100% we have to have the correct belief, and don't curry favor with Kuffar Shias, and that totally haram for you to go to that walima.
Ustaz, listen to this one. Sister says, dear Honorable Mufti Saab, I thoroughly enjoy your program, and my husband is a trustee of a masjid, and now all of a sudden they want to close the masjid, Ustad. And I told him to step down as a trustee. He says, no, it's level 3. Didn't you hear what Cyril said, Ustad? And I see some masjids are closing. Could you please elaborate on this, Ustad?
Remember that, yeah, there are 3 different issues. Number 1 is this, as Muslims, what is our constitution? You must remember our constitution is the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every one of you is a public holiday today in South Africa, Youth Day. So for us as Muslims, every day is Youth Day and so forth. And inshallah, tomorrow between 11 and 12, we will discuss about the youth and Islam and the challenges, Mona Zahid Khan and myself, between 11 and 12 tomorrow, Thursday, inshallah. Nevertheless, that, let me explain to you one verse of the noble Quran and one hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, which is authentic. Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 2, Chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 114. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. And who can be a bigger tyrant, oppressor, transgressor than that person, that Molvi, that Sheikh, that Mufti, that government, that trustee, who prevents people from the Masjid of Allah, they close the Masajid. مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَيُّذْكَرَ فِي أَسْمُهُ. So the name of Almighty Allah cannot be taken there, you can't read Salat there. وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. And they strive to destroy the masjid. This is destroying the masjid by putting the lock and saying, no, you can't come. Put a big board there. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. These trustees, these molvis, these sheikhs, these imams who say close the masjid, they won't enter there. They say, no, if you enter there, then you will get virus and so forth. Allah forbid. See what Allah says. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِذْيُونَ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is humiliation and disgrace in this world, and in the year after is a horror, terrible punishment. Our Maulvis, yes, South Africa, Uksa and all of them. So 1-2 parties, you can take out majority of them. Remember, they went to court. Unprecedented in human history. Some of them have passed away. They went to their grave with that stain on them. Remember that. That they were the ones right in front to close the masjid. Remember that, to go to court. And they will never apologize because they are bootlickers. That yesterday they tell the people, you must take a vaccine. They don't even have the guts to sign it. People send it to me. I said, tell them they are scholars for dollars and they are bootlickers. So you must remember trying to curry favor with a corrupt government and so forth. That's what it is, end of the day. So you must remember these type of things there. So we need to be clear that we must defend our Sharia. Look at what Nabi alayhi salatu salam said. Ahabbul biladi ilallah bimasajiduha. The most beloved place to Allah in the world is the mosque, is the masjid. Wa abghadul biladi ilallah aswaquha, is the market, the malls, the bazaars and so forth. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. The masjid is the super spreader of the mercy of Allah. We go to the masjid, we enter with the right foot. What we say? Allahumma ftahli abwaab rahmatik. Oh Almighty Allah, open thy doors of mercy for me. So imagine from there the mercy comes. The place of mercy, we close it. And the place of vices, Allah's wrath, Allah's lanat, Allah's anger descends, that we promote it. No. Show me you, the trustee, how many shops of yours you closed. You doctors, how many surgeries of yours you closed. You the people who are saying close to, why you don't close your place? So remember, that shows the double standards and so forth. So we condemn in the strongest terms. Kain and mankan. It can be which king, which ruler, which president, which prime minister, which molvi, which trustee, when they close our mosque and masajid, and the government didn't say you must close it. They just said we had level 3, so you must remember if you have indoors 50 people, outdoors 100 people. So why you want to go and close the masjid? It don't belong to you. Close your shop. Close your shop, no problem. That's your business. This is Allah. Masjid belongs to Allah, not to you or to your family. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. So we must oppose it, and you, the public, must stand up and say, those trustees, those imams who are for it to close the masjid, they must be fired and they must be dumped and thrown out. Just like Benjamin Netanyahu, they must be kicked out. They're not too fit to be trustees and imam and so forth.
I see the brother wants to know, Ustaz, will Jummah be normal this week? Or should we start reading our Jummah at home, Ustaz?
No, you must go to the masjid, everything, mashallah. So we say you must go to the masjid, brother. So remember that you go and keep the masjid abad. The masjid are the super spreaders of the mercy of Almighty Allah. I am asking you, do you think these churches and all that are going to stop their services in the weekend? And everything will go on as normal. So why you have to do all these type of things?
I see, brother wants to know, explain the new bill against religion, Ustad.
MashaAllah, on behalf of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and on behalf of Darul Iman, the voice of the voiceless, what we have done is, we have spoken to all parties, and inshallah, I will send it out today, sometime in the afternoon, inshallah, that we are having this week, Friday evening, a special, special program. Our special guest will be Hafiz, senior advocate, Firoz Bouda, senior counsel, and mashallah, is a Hafiz also, Hafizahullah, and our brother, Shafaat Ahmad Khan, he will be the host. Maybe Firoz Bouda here, some other guests with him as well. It will be a 2-hour program between 8 and 10 this week Sunday, this week Friday, remember, it's called Papuda. You know, Papuda is that they got this abbreviation regarding this thing here. So the bill, they want to curtail our Islamic rights and the people's rights who to follow religion and so forth. So in layman's terms, inshallah, our Hafiz, senior advocate Firoz Bouda, and Brother Shafaat, and maybe there'll be others on the panel as well, they will simplify it for us. So diarize it, all esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and of Markaz Sahaba, this week Friday evening between 8 and 10. You must listen to it so that you know, because cut-off date is end of June. So time is going. Today is already 16th and Friday will be 18th. Weekend will be 20th. Next week Monday will be 21st. So we need to act and we need to do something about it. As far as Darul Iman goes, we have raised our objections and so forth. Many other people, organizations have raised, but we want you, the public, also to rise to the occasion. We must defend Islam. That is the greatest bounty which Almighty Allah has conferred upon us.
I see the sister says, as we listen to you, Mufti Saab, from Newcastle, my husband had performed 2 rakats of Salatul Hajat and he just left now but 15 minutes ago. He says, tell Mufti Saab to make special dua. He's on his way to Ladysmith to collect diamonds, Ustad. And he says, when I come back, inshallah, we will be rich, my wife. Ustad.
So I told y'all this morning, y'all didn't know that. I told y'all this morning, I said that last night before I slept, I like to listen to the news, but last night I had a special interest to know what's happening in Palestine. So 10 o'clock I heard BBC News, and the last item they gave on the news, they said that they in South Africa, in one small village next to Ladysmith KZN, that the people have found diamonds, but is subject to verification, and the geologists and the professionals are going there. So I was telling my wife and them, thousands of people will be trekking. That's the word you use in Afrikaans, you know, the to trek, to move there and go there, NKR. So you must remember Ladysmith and go looking for diamonds and so forth. So sister, your husband read two rakat namaz, eh? So he read the two rakat namaz for a matlab. You see, for you, he told you, oh honey, oh poppy, oh sweetie, I'm your Muhammad Ali. And for the diamonds, and for the two rakat namaz for the diamonds, I'm matlab Ali. So you must remember, so now he's on his way there. It can happen. I told you all this morning that in Zimbabwe there's a place called Mutari. There are three big cities there. First is Harare, then Bulawayo, then Mutari. We visited all over the Lazar. So there they started finding diamonds under Mugabe's time. And then the government intervened and they closed the whole area. By that time people stole already thousands of diamonds. One Muslim guy came with us in our group for Hajj. And he was just spending. So I asked him, why you got so much? He said, all this money is mufat to my paisache. So I said, what you mean mufat? He said, I collected so many diamonds. I came to South Africa, sold it, and now I said, let me go for Hajj. So I said, oh, that's why you're spending like that, mashallah. So you see, sister, so better you also, after the bliss of marriage, you read two rakat namaz and say that your husband must pick up the genuine one, not the fake one. So tell him, oh, hubby, you have to give mahar again. You must say, oh, honey, take this money and take this diamond. So you must remember these type of things. Yeah? So Allah alone knows whether it's true or whether it's fake or lies or whatever you. Inshallah, our Mawlana Salim Kareem of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah al Jama'ah, is there in Ladysmith. We requested him. He must go and investigate it, inshallah. And he will update us, inshallah, whether it's the truth or what the story is.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, in the case of fasakh, is the iddat nafaqa payable, Ustad?
You must remember that in the case where fasakh takes place, what is fasakh? Fasakh is the husband is the guilty party. He's hitting his wife. He's assaulting her. He's not paying nafaqa and so forth. So she requested talaq, divorce. He said no, he's obstinate and stubborn. She went to the qazi, the magistrate, the judge. She went to the tribunal, the ulama in our countries, non-Muslim countries. They investigated the matter. Both parties have to be present. And they found the husband to be guilty, but he's a hard cop, you know, stubborn guy. So he don't want to give talaq. So the ulama intervened with their overriding powers. And then they made fasakh. So yes, he has to pay the nafaqah, everything during the iddat. And similarly, after 6 months, 3 months, 10 months, whatever, 1 year, 2 years, you want to reconcile, you can reconcile. But a new nikah, tajdeedun nikah, a new nikah must be performed.
Somebody says a father gave his house to his daughter a few months before he passed on. The house is still in the process of being transferred, Ustad. Her siblings are now wanting a share of the house, one of them being out of the fold of Islam. Please advise, Ustad.
Remember, once the father gave the house to the daughter, and everybody knew that, now it's just a matter of transfer. So that house belongs to the daughter. For you siblings to jump in, all that is based on jealousy and envy. And the brother, sister, Allah forbid, who's a murtad out of the fall of Islam, he does not inherit a cent. You must remember that. Nor from the father, nor from the sister, nor from the mother, nor from anybody. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the law, la yarithul muslimul kafir walal kafirul muslim. A non-Muslim will not inherit from a Muslim, and vice versa. So he must forget, he will not get anything. And you siblings also cannot claim anything from there. You must remember that what your father did, Maybe, you'll understand, she made a lot of khidmat of the father, or maybe the other siblings got houses, she don't have a house, so therefore he gave her the house, so you all should not be burning with jealousy and envy, the house belongs to the daughter.
Ustad, it says, what advice can Mufti Sahib give to new brides? How to adjust, Ustad, and what to say? How to treat in-laws, Ustad?
Remember, last week, I think, I gave you all the 10 prescriptions, the 10 recipes. Quickly, let's go through it, and then there'll be time up. So once you are married, you got married today, and tonight you will be alone. So your husband, you will be in front, and the wife at the back, you read Salat in Jamaat. You, the husband, give Iqamat, the Sunnah. Hadith, Musannaf, Ibn Abi Shayba. Second one, husband, give a gift to your wife. Hadith in Musnad Ahmad, when you're alone, wedding night. Third one, then you must take water, sprinkle on one another, and read Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. Ya Allah, I ask of you goodness, let her share it, what weakness she has, protect us. Similarly, she will do so, sprinkle water on one another's forehead. Hadith in Musannaf Abdul Razak. Fourth one, you husband wife, whenever you are going to be intimate with one another, you must read the dua mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Bismillah, jannibna shaitan wa jannibi shaitan ma ghadana. Ya Allah, put the shaitan far away from us and from our children. Fifth one, smile with one another. Smiling is contagious. Sixth one, make salam to one another. And seventh one, give out gifts to one another. Eighth one, share the same utensils with one another. Ninth one, give affectionate names. You don't have to call her Aisha, Zainab, whatever. Call her darling, Poppy, sweetheart. And you can call him whatever name he likes. Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, call Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha, Humaira, you with a red, red complexion. And last one, the du'as, Rabbana, hablana, min azwajina, wa dhurriyatina, qurrata ayun. And ya wadud, ya wadud. So that are your 10 prescriptions. Quickly, let me give you this half a minute left, what our program will be. Brother Yusuf Ali now with the news. InshaAllah, Brother Al-Amin Templeton, with the current affairs, InshaAllah, from to after the news till 1 o'clock. Then 1 o'clock, the Zohar Azan. Then 1:05 to 1:30, InshaAllah, it will be Surah Namal. Surah Namal, the end, and verses 91, 92, 93. We will complete the Surah today, InshaAllah. Then 1:30 to 2, Surah Anfal. And that is, you must remember, verses 12 and 13. And thereafter, 2 to 3, Brother Maulana Zahid Khan, InshaAllah, with the Madrasa on air. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A with Maulana Arafat. Very interesting, mashallah. 3:35, 3:40, Brother Lamin Templeton with the business economic news and views. Right till 5. 5 to 7, inshallah, will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah's advices. 8 to 10, the medical file with Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. So wonderful programs. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Inshallah, Jazakallah khair. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And 4 to 6, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Tomorrow morning, inshallah. Up next, 12 o'clock news with handsome Yusuf Ali.
Merkez Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.